you haven't already, if you'd turn to Proverbs 3, first six verses. We're going to look at those in the context of the message here in a little bit. But what I want to start with this morning is, how can you know God's will for your life? What are the methods? How do you discern what it is God is trying to tell you, which direction He wants you to go? Might be a major decision in your life, might be something very minor. You see that quote by George Truett, I love it on there. To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. I love this prayer. You've probably heard it before. It's very, it's been out there in the public domain forever. But it should be a prayer that's on every Christian's lips. It just bottom lines it so simple for all of us when we come to this subject, this topic of God's guidance. And it is this: God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, amen. It's about as simple as it gets. But look at some important facts about God's guidance there. Look at number one. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You realize, hopefully by now, you are not a mistake. I don't care what the conditions of your birth were, how you were raised, what you think about it. God planned you before the creation of the world. He gifted you individually. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, for you, and He wants you to accomplish it. And then, because He loves you so much, just what we observed at the Lord's table, He sent Jesus to die to become sin for you so you could be reconciled to Him, spend eternity with Him, but also have life more abundant and free. Ephesians 2:10, you see the quote there, the reference. God planned for us to do good things and to live as He has always wanted us to live. That's why He sent Christ to make us what we are. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's one of my favorite verses. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I would propose to you, not only the steps, but the stops. Not only the open doors, but the closed doors are ordered by God. Look at number two there. God has promised to reveal His plan to you. His promise is to show you the way. He takes no joy in you stumbling through life and being uncertain what His will is or which direction He wants you to go. You are His children, and as His loving Father, He wants to guide your way. He wants you to find out what His will is. He wants you to understand that you're created for a purpose. He has a plan for you individually. That's why the psalmist said in 32:8, "You said to me, I will point out the road that you should follow, and I will be your teacher and watch over you." Psalm 73:24, "Your advice has been my guide, and later you will welcome me into glory." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future in your life to a known God that loves you, cares for you, and wants you to step according to His plan. So look at some aspects of God's will if you have an outline there. Number one, His plan has been revealed in His Word, in His written Word, and it applies to all Christians. So we're talking now, obviously, about the written will of God. The Old, the New Testament that you love so much. God has a written will. That plan, that purpose has been revealed throughout the pages of His Word, the Bible. It's known to us. All of us, folks, are aware of the story and what's in it. It doesn't exclude anyone. His Word is to be applied to all of us. And every believer, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God's will for you is to follow, obey, and know His written will in the pages of His Word. So that's the very first aspect, the foundation. If you want to understand God's will, you have to start at that point. But the second one is, you know what? God's will for you involves decisions that you will face in life, circumstances that you will come into, that there are no directions, if you will, that you can go to, no verse that necessarily addresses what it is that you're facing. So you may say, you know, there's no specific directions for what I need to do or face or decide about or go in one direction or another, and you can call that the unwritten will of God. And it's typically in this area, the unwritten will of God, where you and I stumble, where we're not sure, we're indecisive, we're talking with other brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't necessarily find a verse to back up what it is that we want to seek God's will about. And so we grapple with, what is God's will for my life in this area, in this decision, in this circumstance? So what do you do? Well, look at the principles there to follow. First, obey the written will of God first. Don't worry about the unwritten will of God. Don't worry about a circumstance or decision you have to make where you can't think, you know, I'm not sure this is addressed in the pages of Scripture. Don't worry about some mystical aspect of trying to discern or seek guidance in God's will for your life. First of all, commit yourself to God's Word, to knowing it and obeying it. Start there. I love the quote by Mark Twain. He says, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the part of the Bible that I do understand. Do you relate to that? Haven't there been times where maybe you're seeking an answer for something and you're just searching through God's Word and you're reading away and all of a sudden you just say, oh, boy, that is just so clear and so plain and so understandable. And that is so not what I want to do. Why did I come across that? But it is impossible to know the unwritten will of God, to be able to hear Him and discern His guidance for you your life, if you do not first obey the written will of God and know it and understand it. God is not about to give you something that is not in His Word until you know and have that foundation of what is in His Word. Second principle, two, fall in love with God. The best way to know God's will is to first say, I will, to God. And this is a struggle for a lot of us. I'm talking about putting Him first in every area of your life. You know what happens when you fall in love with someone? You want to spend time with them, and they're everything that you focus on. It's easy to listen to them. It's easy to want to do what they want to do, to obey them, if you will. You want to do all those things. Why? Because you are in a love relationship with that person. Doesn't matter if it's your spouse, if it's your children, boyfriend, girlfriend, or if it is God. And if we are honest this morning, usually you and I have a hard time obeying God because we don't really love Him like we should. Look at number three. Be willing to accept the will of God before knowing what it is. That Romans 8, 31, 32 is a great verse. Now, I don't think any of us here this morning have any problem obeying the will of God as long as it's what we want to do. You know, if I know what God's will is in a situation and that's what I want to do, I feel pretty good about going down that path. Kind of like we say, you know, God, you don't have 100% of me, but you've got 90, 95% of me, and I'm facing this issue, this situation here, and if you just lift the curtain a little bit and just kind of let me see into what's coming ahead, then I'm certainly happy to go that direction. You know, we can just close the deal on it, and I'll go where you want me to go as long as you give me a little peek, and I can be comfortable to say, you know what, yes, I do want to do that. So, we're not willing to let God be God. We're not necessarily willing to obey Him at all costs unless we get a little peek, unless we get that curtain to rise a little bit so we can understand what's on the other side. I want to have a little input into this decision, God. I want to be able to speak into this. And what we're really saying is, God, You are not sovereign. I know what's best. I'm holding back a little bit. I may have a better idea on what needs to happen here. And I believe this is the issue that causes most of us as Christians to stumble in not knowing the will of God for our life. Romans 8, 31, 32. If God is on our side, can anyone be against us? God did not keep back His own Son, but gave Him for us. And if God did this, won't He freely give us everything else? What a great verse. Paul says, God is on your side. He wants what's best for you. It doesn't matter how dark it looks, what you're facing, what you may be going through. God is with you. Proverbs 3, 1 to 6, the passage. My child, remember my teachings and instructions. Obey them completely. They will help you live a long and prosperous life. Let love and loyalty always show like a necklace and write them in your mind. God and people will like you, consider you success. With all your heart, you must trust the Lord, not your own judgment. Always let him lead you, and he will clear the road for you to follow. If you would have God's guidance, you must listen to as well as talk to the guide. So what are some rewards in your life and my life about doing this, about following God's teachings, about discerning what his will is? First, a fulfilled life. Second, favor with God and others. When we obey God in our life, he will work through that in that situation, and he will find a way to find favor, not only favor in us with him, but also favor in others. Think of Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament. Here is a guy that was put in one horrible situation after another, and yet how did God work? God always worked in the midst of that, whether in prison or with Pharaoh. And always Joseph found favor with others because he was doing what God's will was for his life, obeying God's will for his life, and no matter the situation, he found favor with others because God was orchestrating that. Third, success. Success is a reward. God's will is going to help you so much more in life than the will of a rich relative. Look at verse 3 in Proverbs 3, where he says, let love and loyalty always show like a necklace. The New American Standard uses even stronger language. Write these truths of God on tablets of your heart and bind them around your neck. So you picture a heavy leather strap with a stone tablet, say 8x10, that you're wearing around your neck, and it's got these words on it, obey God and trust him. Trust and obey. Something to that effect. Where he says, write these truths of God on the tablets of your heart, bind them around your neck. It is something you and I would likely not forget if we went through our day with this heavy tablet that is weighing us down, that we're having to maneuver around, and continually through the day we see trust and obey. Obey God. Trust him. It's something we wouldn't forget. But do you know what we like to do instead of wearing that heavy stone tablet? We like post-it notes. And we'll just stick a post-it note on us, and we'll put something on there that may not even fit his plan for our life, but something that we really want to do. And if it doesn't work out or doesn't seem to fit, we'll rip that one off, put another post-it note, write something else on it, and it makes life so much easier. But that's not what God says to do. Look in your outline there. Finding God's will demands, one, total commitment. When you read those six verses in Proverbs 3, our passage for this morning, four different times this issue of total commitment comes up. Verse 1, my child, remember my teachings and instructions. The next phrase, obey them completely. There you got it, total commitment. Verse 3, let love and loyalty always show. Total commitment. Verse 5, with all your heart. There you are, note that. You must trust the Lord, not your own judgment. Finally, verse 6, note that phrase, always let him lead you. Total commitment. Finding God's will, number 2, demands trust. God always gives the best to those who leave the choice with him. I love this quote by Martin Luther. He said, I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. Here's a guy that spent hours in prayer, 3+ hours in prayer, every morning of his life on his knees. And he says, I know not the way God leads me, but well do I know my guide. So I love this simple poem. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He does the very best for those who leave the choice with him. So what you should know about God's will? First, For many things in life, God has no preference. Do you realize that? Sometimes we get all confused, we get all uptight, we just get stopped because we think God has a preference for every individual situation that we may come across. But it's not that way. There are many things in your life that you go through, that you face, that God is not losing any sleep over. And we can get so tied up in minutiae and the small things in our life that we can lose sight of the forest for the trees, for what He wants us to do. There are many areas where I would propose it doesn't matter. God probably wasn't real worried this morning about what route you took to church, or what parking lot you, or what parking space you parked in, or what pew and where on that pew you sat, although you may have been very concerned about it. It's a big yawn to God. So that's number one. In many things in life, God has no preference. Look at the second one, number two. The will of God is like a scroll that unrolls a little each day of our lives. So the characteristic of a scroll, if you've seen one, parchment, papyrus, is the fact that you have to hold it stationary and then pull it. And you can only see what comes a little before. And a lot is still left rolled up that you can't see yet. And as you go and you unroll it one day at a time, what God is saying to you is, don't worry about what's at the end of the scroll. Don't say to me, God says, tell me, reveal me to me, give me, allow me to understand your will for my life for the next 20 years. God's not going to do that. You couldn't stand it if He did it. That's not how He works. It would terrify you, and you don't need that. I've illustrated it this way before, and it's a great illustration. You leave here on Wednesday night from Bible study, Sunday night service. It's dark out. You turn your car on and you leave. Do my lights in my car have to go all the way to my house for me to be able to get home? No. You know what they have to do? They have to get about 500 or 600 feet ahead of me. And all I have to do is respond to and understand what has been revealed to me, the direction, the will, the way that I know to go, 500 or 600 feet at a time. And if I simply do that, I know eventually I will see home in my headlights. And it's the same way. You just concern yourself with obeying God, with knowing God, with loving Him, with keeping Him first, with letting Him be the Lord of your life right now. And then you take the light that you have that God has revealed to you, and you follow that light right on down the road, and He will take you exactly where you need to be. Third thing you should know about God's will, look at number three. Guard against the temptation to take a Bible verse out of context to find God's will. Boy, we like to do that. I have seen, and if you do this, fine. But I have seen people open their Bible and just let the pages flip and put their finger down, and on that verse they hit, they will say, you know what, this is God's will for my life. Or this is God's will for this day for my life. God, wherever my finger stops, wherever the pages flip open to, I know that's what you want for me today. Bible roulette. There can be major problems with that. What if you flip the pages open, they fell to the New Testament, you put your finger down, and the verse said, Judas went out and hung himself. Whoa. But then you go down to the next verse, I don't like that, and it's in a panic, you grab that next verse, and it says, go and do thou likewise. Oh, it's getting worse. You go to the next verse, whatever thou doest, do it quickly. That's not the will for my life in any day. People who pick verses out of context and they want to manipulate God and they work until they find the verse that they really like and they grab hold of that and don't play that game. Look at number four. Don't equate God's will with your circumstances. Boy, we can be guilty of this. Don't say, I must be in God's will because everything is working out. Everything is roses. I'm on the mountaintop. My relationship with God has never been closer. Everything's going right with me. Or the opposite. I must be out of God's will. Or this horrible thing wouldn't be happening to me. Or I wouldn't be experiencing this. Or these situations or conditions wouldn't be here. Don't be so immature to think there is a cause and effect relationship with God's will for your life and the external circumstances of your life. There is not a cause and effect relationship between God's will and your circumstance. I'll tell you where there is a direct relationship, and that is between God's will and the peace of God in your life. Mark 4. Jesus sends the disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He tells them, you guys go ahead, I'll be over. The waves get heavy, the storm blows up. You know, they thought they were going to die. And if you ask them, are you doing the Lord's will? Are you in the middle of God's will? They would have said, yes, we sure are. But look at the circumstance. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. And he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus is looking into the very open jaws of hell. He doesn't want to go to the cross. He knows what's going to happen. The humanity of the fully God, fully human Lord. And he's saying, if it's possible, but God says it's not possible. And so our Lord, stripped of his dignity, sinless, died on the cross. His own Father, turning his back on his own Son, was Jesus in God's will in the very center, the sweet spot of what he was there to do. Were his circumstances good or what he wanted? No. It's not your circumstances that determine where you are. It's the peace that you have in your heart, in your life, in your mind that God gives you in spite of whatever you're going through. Look at number 5. Fifth thing you should keep in mind about God's will. If you've missed God's will, don't despair. You ever talk to folks like that? You know what? I really felt God moving when I was this age. And I really feel like I should have made this decision and gone this way. Or married this person. Or gone into the ministry. Or been a missionary. Or on and on it goes, as many circumstances as you can think of. And here it is, decades later in your life, and you think, you know what? I'm miserable. I had the opportunity. I discerned what God's will was for my life, and I didn't do it. I want you to know something. If you have missed God's will for you in the past, God is in one business, and it is the healing, the grace-restoring business. He has the ability to take you wherever you are, after whatever bad relationship or financial nightmare or job that you don't like or whatever the case may be, he is willing to take you right where you are and give you a second chance. That's the business that he's in. Not just second chances, but new beginnings. And you look in the Bible and you see that over and over and over about great people who needed that second chance or new beginning. Abraham, the promise, the covenant with Abraham, who messed up with Hagar and Ishmael and finally got it right with Sarah and Isaac? Or do you want to talk about Jacob? You want to talk about Moses, who tried to deliver Israel under his own power? You want to talk about David with Bathsheba? You want to talk about Samson and all the opportunities that he blew? You want to talk about the Apostle Paul, who said, I am the greatest and chief of all sinners. You want to talk about Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times and within a very short time was the leader of the church, why Christ came. If there is anything redemptive about the written will of God in his book, anything wonderful about Jesus, any grace through Christ dying on the cross for your sins, it is that no matter what choices we have made or where we are, through Christ you can get a brand new sheet of paper. Though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, my friend, anyone can start from now and make a brand new end. Traps to avoid in seeking God's will, look at them there. Busyness. Nobody here is so overcommitted and so pressured that they can't hear God's voice. No. Our own mindset. I'm ready to hear God, but only through the one channel that I'll accept that reception. I'm looking for a certain will, a certain thing that I want from God, tunes them out. Three, presumption. Presuming that God's will is going to be this or that. You know what? I've got it nailed down here. I've had that. Sometimes we have this tendency to lay it out and think, you know, I believe I know what needs to happen, what's going to happen. And God, I know you're really busy with holding the universe together, so I'm going to help you out on this one. So just don't worry about it. I'll kind of lay out the steps and you just pull it off. Helping God. Presumption. Four, trying too hard. Wonderful, conscientious Christians that love God and want to do His will, and it's the trap of the person that they always want to be, they need to be sure that they're exactly doing what God wants, and so they just keep sweating and testing and laying out fleece and doing all these things, and they have this paralysis of analysis because they try too hard. There is only one thing that you and I have to do in the most basic, fundamental way. It's so simple. You don't have to sweat about it. You don't have to wonder about it. God's will is so easy to know. I'm not trying to simplify this today, but I believe the one major thing you and I can do to start is relax, enjoy the journey, understand that God created us. He has a purpose and a plan for our life. He wants us to know His will. He's involved in the affairs of men still today, the individual affairs of your life. And all you have to do is put Him first, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You ever sang that? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that Your grace would cover every person this morning in this church. Put a hedge around their hearts and their minds, around their spouses, their families. Put Your arms beneath us. Give us strength in times of our weakness as we go through this journey of life. Help us to trust and obey no matter what circumstance or thing that we face. Help each of us to run a race that we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who began a good work in us. We know that through Your Spirit's help, not only individually, but in the church collectively, that You will be faithful to complete it. And it's in Your name that we give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name.